This is CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me, Lionel Makokotlele. Why are you smiling, Lionel?
I just have the most interesting person. Well, I've just met the most interesting person ever. The most hated, the most loved person, and he's in studio today. So I just can't really believe it.
Yeah, well, so Lions, there's a man in this town who's constantly tweeting to warn motorists to avoid blockades, to watch out for smash and grabbers, to dodge slow traffic and slow down for speed humps and cameras,
you know,
and even wait lines to evade roadblocks. You'll be grateful. I mean, we're all grateful for the heads up. If you haven't been warned, you'd be crying out. Okay. Yeah, Jack Parrot. He couldn't say it there, could he? Lad is hysterical. So, Lad's our guest today for all our listeners, with over 500,000, and it's way over 500,000, 550,000 or something, passionate Twitter followers, is the man that every motorist loves and the traffic police love to hate him. It's the pig spotter.
Pig spotter is in the house.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Wow, thank you very much for gracing us with your presence. This is one man who is most loved, who's most hated. You know what? You are the biggest celebrity ever.
No.
You are the biggest.
Lionel's been dying to meet you for years. Every time I do the show, he says, where do you get in the pig spotter? So,
what? I'm so sorry.
Lionel's gone.
You can walk out for a while. Joining Cliff today, the pig spotter, is a man that the traffic authorities also love to hate.
Oh.
The public loves him too. It's the undisputed authority on anything to deal with road traffic laws. It's the very man, Howard Dembowski, who's been sick, but he's back. He's back.
Howard's back. And in the greatest of health. I'm healthier than I was when I was 19 years old, for goodness sake. So watch out. Right. Sorry, Minister of Transport. Sorry, Minister of Justice. We are on for our auto-constitutional challenge. So, yeah, we'll get to that later on. But we've the man of the hour, my dear friend, coincidentally,
yes,
the pig spotter's name is Cliff.
Yes.
And he's here on Cliff Central. So it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, we've known each other for many, many, many years.
I think 8 years, yeah, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, when I started off in 2010.
You've stopped smoking, Howard.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I stopped smoking in February.
Yeah, that's why you're in much better health. Well, stop smoking.
I've stopped smoking.
Remember that guy on 702?
I've started exercising. Yeah. I've stopped this 18 hours behind a computer every day without walking around. Yeah, all of that nonsense is gone. Cool. So sorry to disappoint my adversaries, but as they say, the rumors of my demise were greatly exaggerated.
Very much alive. Let's just give out our details. Lines our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg. You always say give it a like if you like.
Oh, certainly, yes. And you can always just post anything that you'd like us to talk about. We'll get you a specialist like we did today who is going to break down the legal jargons and just simply everything. However, you can also touch base with us on Twitter at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. That's where you can also just post something like, or if you don't like something, that if we offended you, sorry in advance, but you can always touch base with us. Good. We are very accessible.
Our partner today is Legal Talk South Africa with their close to 200,000 Facebook members.
Bravo.
Yeah. Good. Pig Spotter.
Yes.
You're a really high-profile person. You've been in the news for a couple of years now with your 500,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Was it last week, I think, that you were chosen with two others as the most thrilling tweeter at Gold Reef City. Is that true?
Yeah, no, what this was is that true. About? Okay, yeah. So pretty much we were invited to go through to Gold Reef City for the Thrill Seeker Challenge. And what we had to do was try and ride on all of the most thrilling, exciting rides, like the Tower of Terror, the Golden Loop, Anaconda, Josie Express, Runaway Train, all of those ones. And whoever could do it in the fastest time would win a prize, and whoever tweeted the best tweet would also then win the key to the city. Yeah, and I think my...
What was your tweet?
Well, my tweet was actually a video, which you're actually not allowed to do on Goldie City Rides, because I never follow the rules, right? So I literally tweeted a video of going down the Tower of Terror, which is the scariest ride.
Did you puke?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Honestly, I live for these things. These things, they don't scare me at all. So it was nice to fill up my adrenaline junkie bar. And that was an awesome tweet, actually.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know you, and I'm sure there are hardly any, but you refer to you the pig spotter because pigs are the euphemism for the police.
Which wasn't created by me. Yeah. Let me just put that out there. It was actually created back in the 1600s when there was an English constable, and he had little policemen who worked underneath him. And he also owned a pig farm. Ooh. So he referred to his officers as piglets. Mm-hmm. So that's actually where the whole pigs acronym came from.
Yeah.
Oh,
now
I get it.
You see.
Yeah. So this is what he uses in court when they want to show chocolate
is cracking.
There we go.
Okay, so now if you look at your tweets, I mean, you call the police deep fried crackling. pulling people over on Grayston Drive. Yes. There's a huge pork infestation on the inward side.
Swine flu.
Pork rinds have set up on Main Road.
Yeah.
And there's streaky bacon on the M2.
I tell you what, after 8 years, it's actually difficult to come up with new ones, but I've been using those for, they're trying to test it for comedy purposes.
Okay, so now, You've developed this massive following of over half a million people. How does this whole thing work? You've told the story a million times, but we still want to know about it. Yeah.
Okay, so pretty much I sit on my phone, and when people send me information about where the cops are, like setting up roadblocks or speed traps, or when there's a congestion, then I get that information. I normally wait for two or three tweets of the same nature before I post it out there, so I know it's validated. Mm. Or I see it myself driving around it for my job. I pull over to the side of the road, and then this pig spotter thing is just for fun. It does not pay the bills, I promise you. Then I pull over to the side of the road, all safely, of course, and then I put it out there on Twitter. And other ways also WhatsApp groups. I have some. We used to be back in the day BlackBerry Messenger groups, and there would be tow trucks, paramedics, fire, ambulance services, and even some police tell me some information, which I then put it out there.
So so everyone's getting the info, and they actually avoid a roadblock or they avoid speeding down the road.
Sure. So
you, Howard, you
and it's awfully useful. In some instances, and I know that my dear Porker here will not agree with me, but the fact is that there have been instances where he has been of tremendous assistance to the police in deterring people from driving under the influence of alcohol, which is a topic that we're going to talk about later, by saying that the area is saturated with cops, because underneath it all, he's actually not just this badass. I'm sorry to ruin your rep, dude.
But damn it!
But he actually genuinely does care about his fellow road users, okay? Which is a great thing, and that's why we became friends way back when this whole thing started, and when our dear mates like Wayne Minar were setting up illegal roadblocks and taking people's cell phones from them
to see if it was me.
To see if it was him. Okay, well, they were breaking. Breaking the law,
like I said.
Talk about breaking the law. I want to just put one question to you that you've been asked 100 times, but we want to deal with it on my show. There's a woman called Nana, N-A-N-A. She writes on Legal Talk. She says, in Afrikaans, I want to find if wil graag uitvind of dit onwettig is om mense op 'n WhatsApp group te waarsku as daarby bijvoorbeeld 'n spoedlokvalle, spoedkameras. Blockades in other words, is it unlawful to warn people in a WhatsApp group of speed cameras, speed traps and roadblocks?
No, not at all. It's not unlawful at all because it's public information. So if the cops are there, all you're literally doing is you're seeing it and you're just telling other people what's happening. That's why my Twitter account, I mean, after 8 years, they haven't found anything to actually prosecute me on.
Have they tried?
Well, I probably assume they would have tried, and the Sophia Town Police Station, because I believe the docket was going between them and the NPA, National Prosecuting Authority, and they've found nothing to actually prosecute me on, because in order for me to be prosecuted on a specific, I would have to know of a specific crime that happened at a specific place, and that what I tweeted out was going to assist the criminal in avoiding the police capture, which obviously, I mean, I don't know of any criminals. So.
What about flashing your lights when there's a speed trap?
There's case law on this.
Yes, I know.
There is case law.
There's S versus Pereira and S versus Naidu in those cases.
Correct. But it is not unlawful.
Why?
Because you would have to have the necessary criminal intent and knowledge that the person to whom you are flashing your lights, warning that there's a speed trap or a roadblock ahead of you, is breaking the law, is in fact breaking the law. Mm-hmm. Not you suspect, okay, is in fact breaking
the
law.
Can you tell if a car's traveling in the opposite direction whether he's speeding or not?
No. You know what? Human beings are probably the worst judges of speed that I've ever come across.
I don't know. Okay. What about
bucks? They look at vehicles, and generally they will overestimate the speed of that vehicle by anything between 30 and 100%. It is actually quite peculiar, and I've done these experiments using speed measuring equipment and groups of people and saying, how fast do you think that vehicle's going? Okay. And then we measure it, and they see this and they say, oh my God. But they overestimate generally. Mm-hmm. And that is unless that person happens to be a pedestrian who's running across a freeway. Because then what they do is they judge the speed of a vehicle based on the size issue of the vehicle. Okay. So if it looks like it's small, it therefore is far away. You know that little warning that you get in your mirror? And they run. And that's when they get turned into pavement pizza.
Jesus. That's a hard one. Howard, why then is a motorist flashing his lights? What's he doing? What's his intention?
I think, well,
it's out of courtesy.
What is he telling the oncoming traffic? Listen,
slow down.
But he doesn't know if he's going fast.
No, yep. Slow down.
It's just out of courtesy.
But why does he only do it when he's passing a traffic?
Says who? I flash my lights at people all the time. I do it for fun.
How about the flasher? Yeah.
I'm a flasher, yeah, wow. Big time. No, I do it because, you know what, it's actually in the interest of road safety. Let's just sit back and pause. Is the objective of road safety to catch people who are doing things wrong or to deter them from actually breaking the law?
Well, the municipalities want to collect the funds, don't they?
So absolutely. Absolutely. Funds? But in utopia, is the purpose of traffic law enforcement to enhance road safety or is it to make money?
It's supposed to be road safety.
Exactly.
But it's not.
And that is why there is this general... In fact, that's what gave rise to the fame of the man sitting next to me is the fact that the focus on revenue as opposed to road safety is so high in South Africa that it was bound to happen.
Let's ask the pig spotter about his platform. It seems that you started off warning motorists. Now you've evolved into a social media platform where everything is discussed.
Yes.
Is that where you want to be?
I'll tell you what, yes. Yeah. The whole reasoning for modifying the entire platform, I'm sure you would have noticed, I used to tweet about 60, 70 times a day.
Yes.
Telling people where the cops are and roadblocks and missing cars, missing people and so forth. Mm. I still carry on with those once in a while. But obviously there's new and other apps that are out there, obviously specifically Waze, that already pretty much does the job. So
does Waze get the information from you, a lot of it?
It used to get quite a lot of information, but it's also very much a crowdsource. So the more people that see things, they report it on their own app and automatically goes onto the Waze servers. Mm. So that's why it has taken a lot out of my hands. And Waze, I think, started here in 2014. I originally came up with an idea for an app in 2012, but... It fell through. They wanted 1.4 million rand for the app, blah, 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 blah. And I decided not to do that, so I didn't go that route. But I've always liked having discussions. I've always been a person to enjoy conversations and enjoy getting other people's opinions on an amicable platform. And I think since I've slowed down on tweeting about where the cops are and all that, as soon as there are like serious topics that come up, I can tweet about it. People interact with me, and we can have a decent intellectual conversation about it. But
what about the swine that is alleged to have raped the little girl in the dress? That's very much been part of your on your platform, and in fact, you even put his picture up.
I'll tell you what,
and I don't know if you put there's a video circulating that I didn't even want to look at because it's sick. I don't know who'd want to look at it. Did that go up as well?
No. I actually only put out two tweets. About it, and that was it. It was made. No,
may I advise you of your rights before you do that? Before you go any further, let me advise you of your rights.
Right to remain silent.
You have the right to remain silent. Unfortunately, everybody out there needs to understand this. Name and shame in South Africa is becoming more and more popular because of the frustrations that we face on a daily basis with a lack of
visible
effective law enforcement.
Yes.
And that's not just in traffic law enforcement, it's all over the place. Okay. However, Section 153 of the Criminal Procedure Act is very, very specific. Under normal circumstances, you may not release the name of an accused person until their first appearance in court. However, when that person stands accused of a crime in terms of the Sexual Offences Act, you may not name that person until such time as that person has pleaded. And there is a big difference between first court appearance and pleading. In fact, that's what he's supposed to be doing today.
He has done it.
He has.
Okay, so
I think he got denied bail as well, which obviously
it's a Schedule 6 crime.
He shouldn't be allowed to be, you know, loose.
Breathing, actually.
Shouldn't be breathing. But
Look, I think that you'd have to be inhuman to say that a person who has been convicted of that crime should be breathing, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
But let's just remember, and I'm sorry to say this, because as heinous as the crime is, we have to keep our faith in the criminal justice system and our courts if we don't want to fall victim to mob justice ourselves. We need to be very, 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 very careful what we wish for.
It's actually very hard to hold back. I understand what you're saying.
It is. It's extremely difficult.
The very thought of that case is sickening.
It's totally
sickening. Mildly,
I don't think there's a person in this room who would have just stood there taking a film. I think we would have probably gone a lot further than that. And let's not speculate as to what it would be. But the fact is that unfortunately we do need to place our faith in the criminal justice system and in our courts. And if we allow ourselves to allow emotion to take over, where we have a system in place to deal with these things, then we are asking for big trouble. Because then we will all applaud the next police minister who comes along and says, you know what, instead of doing as our dear friend Becky suggests and shoot to kill, let's dispose of trials and let's shoot people in the head on the beaches to show everybody that justice is being done.
Where did that picture emanate from, Cliff?
Look, to be deadly honest, I don't know where it originally came.
Did you retweet it or did you?
So pretty much I picked up on it. I actually searched for him on Facebook. I found photos of him as well. But I mean, the information was being sent to me already prior to that. And I was actually under the assumption that he had already pleaded. That he had gone to the courts on the Friday or on the Thursday, I think it was. And then he already said, like, you know, that he's going to plead insanity, blah, blah, blah. And because of that, then I said, okay, cool, 100%. I'm allowed to actually allege it. Because obviously my lawyer also said to me, listen, if you're going to tweet anything that's controversial, make sure you use the word allegedly, because that will, you know, save your bacon. So I said to him, no problem. So,
in this case.
Yeah. And so then I definitely, I put it out there. Another thing I never did was obviously mention the fiance. Because I mean, I think she should completely be left out of it. It's got nothing to do with her. It's obviously an act that he'd done. And I believe they were actually engaged to be married. And she was pregnant with his kid of 6 months old as well.
Really?
So honestly, you know, like, I really hope the justice system puts him away for life, because if he has his own child and that child grows up, luckily she's going to grow up without him as a father. I mean, I would actually even hate to think what he would do to his own child.
Absolutely. You know?
But yeah, no, it's disgusting.
Except I wouldn't like to be the state prosecutor in this particular case. Because of the fact that the law directly prohibits it. And basically, what social media has done in this particular case is given the defense a defense on the platter.
Were there witnesses, eyewitnesses to this?
There were several.
No eyewitnesses to the rape. There were eyewitnesses to a man flushing a child's clothing down a toilet.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. Yes, there's no such thing as a coincidence, but unfortunately, people need to really come to terms and understand this, okay? Yeah. Where the law prohibits something, saying, well, I wasn't the first one to do it is not a defense. Saying allegedly is not a defense.
You sound like a prosecutor, okay. Gets Cliff.
Okay, it's a really unfortunate thing. Yeah. But we need to really, really, really be careful. And I'm sorry to be the one to say this, because also outraged.
No, don't be sorry, because I think what you're saying is very important for the sake of other people's identity. Because sometimes you may find that the identity of the person who's actually being named is the wrong person. And now people try to really vilify the person.
Well, by the time that person actually goes to trial, they will blame the courts if that matter is struck with the roll. They will say, look at the courts. They're not interested.
Yes, absolutely. If you had an ID parade, or you needed an ID parade, this whole thing could be a problem.
Look at the courts. They don't take child rape seriously. That's what people will say if it is struck off the roll. And the chances of it being struck off the roll are pretty damn good in light of the violations of the Criminal Procedure Act. That's the sad part of it. Good luck to the prosecutors.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the wonderful stuff that your platform does.
It is wonderful stuff.
I mean, you've got 550,000 people that are partaking. And they want to talk about corruption. And they want to talk about the hurricanes in America and the... Yeah. And whatever it may be. So, I mean, this is a wonderful platform that enables us to do that.
To have a dialogue,
Howard, I mean, this is what we look for. We want to talk to one another, and this is the place to do it.
If you want to get a message out, get it out through people who have huge followings on Twitter, okay? Cliff has helped JPSA on numerous
occasions.
Give
us some ideas of what...
getting messages out.
If there's been a hijacking or stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a great example. Do you remember that one that took place in KwaZulu-Natal? Okay. And through tweeting, the victim who had been locked in the boot of a vehicle.
Yeah.
Tell the story.
It's an actual fact. It was in 2013, over Easter period. A lady by the name of Tanisha Reddy, she tweeted me saying, listen, my boyfriend's just been thrown into the back of, I think it was a black Golf 4. And this guy, the hijackers had thrown him to the back of the car. They hadn't taken away his cell phone, so he managed to contact her. And she put it out to me. I put it out, obviously, on Twitter. And then I had guys from AfriTrack. They came on board. Graham as well from Rigor Rescue. I'm sure a couple of law enforcement officers. That's the whole nice thing about my platform, is that everyone kind of follows it. So paramedics, ambulance services, the cops themselves. They immediately started tracking where this vehicle was going. They started triangulating on his cell phone number, because I put her directly in touch with them as well. They literally set up a roadblock further up the road. As the guys approached, they saw the roadblock, pulled over, and they abandoned the vehicle. And luckily, the guy was still inside the boot.
Wow.
They came through, picked it up, and he was fine.
There was another one
okay, yeah. which preceded that one, which yeah. you've forgotten. You see, possibly. I'm the one who's got no hair. Where a girl was actually found in Kwamashu, okay, after having been kidnapped in central Durban, okay, in a hijacking. And it was amazing how that this thing just went completely viral within seconds of this incident. Mm. And it was people, members of the public in Kwamashu, who actually tracked down the vehicle.
Yes.
And once again, found her in the boot.
Wow. What about this disgraceful racist rant by this guy, Kessie, is it Nair or Nair?
Nair. Yeah.
I mean, that I also saw, it was tweeted by you.
Yes, yeah.
People want to see this stuff. Absolutely. They want to talk about it.
And that's actually what I think is the problem, one of the biggest problems with social media, is that although a lot of people want to talk about it, people aren't talking about it effectively. Mm. Okay, so in other words, a lot of people are saying very racist things to each other, and there's a whole massive fight that's going on. Mm. Instead of people actually having an intellectual conversation and saying, listen, this is how I feel. Okay, cool. Why do you feel that way? This is what happened to me. Okay, that's what happened to you. How can we move forward? And a lot of people aren't saying the right things.
Yeah.
That for me, what I feel is the biggest problem.
But could it also not be the fact that the platform itself, it's very much limited in the sense that people become very emotional, and the moment people become emotional, rationality just flies out of the window.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But cool. I mean, I don't feel it's, you know, it's very quick and easy to sit in your armchair. They call them armchair warriors or keyboard warriors. It's very easy just to throw a quick comment out there.
Certainly.
But then as soon as you're identified and someone actually comes and approaches you, say, listen, you said X, Y, Z. Immediately, oh no, crap, I didn't say that, or I'm really sorry I said that. But people, like you said, are very emotional. At that point in time, they don't realize that what they say on social media, even if it is like from a kind of a hidden account, you're easily able to be tracked.
Certainly.
And you will be held accountable for what you say.
There's only one place in South Africa where you may do and say as you wish within reason.
That's in the grave.
That is in your own home. Right. Nowhere. In the privacy of your own home.
Not even in your own home.
Okay. Yeah. The Constitution says so. However, and that's why weed has now been legalized for consumption in your private consumption and for cultivation. Yeah. But the fact is, okay, understand this, because the amount of people who come along and say, you've taken a photograph of me illegally, delete it, okay? Policemen who grab people's cell phones and physically delete footage of them abusing people because people were filming them in the first instance because they were abusing people. Mm. There is no law to stop you from taking film footage of any person in public because you, in public, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy.
Where to from here for Pig Spotter? Where are you growing in numbers, your Twitter following?
It's never really stopped growing. It grows at about 200 a day. It's just carrying on. Mm. Look, I mean, where I'd like to go further with this, who knows? I mean, it's kind of evolved. I mean, back in 2010.
Forgive me, can you make money out of this?
I was just about to ask that.
Everyone wants to know that.
Well, I mean, I have actually probably made about 150, 200,000 rand, I think, out of like selling tweets, King Prize and all those kind of guys.
In 10 years.
So, I mean, I really don't do it often. Yeah. And whatever I have made, I've actually donated off to charity. So Kids with Cancer, Chuck, or ARC Animal Shelters. Because, like
he's a good man, the Pig Spotter.
Thanks. I have my own security company, and that is what I do for full time. That's what pays the bills. I don't
need can you give us that name? Would you want to?
No.
You don't need to?
You know what?
It's a security company, so you don't give it up.
Exactly.
We prepared to promote you.
He's deep undercover.
Still trying to be anonymous. It's evolved. Back in 2010, I was hoping for like literally just 5,000 followers, a nice little underground thing, and it grew to 5,000 in a month. Mm. And then I had the likes of Gareth Cliff here. Obviously, he also tweeted it once. He put out one tweet. I literally gained 300 followers. It was amazing.
Really?
And then Akian
Sasu. Gary, what's Gareth got? Nearly 2 million or something?
It's actually ridiculous. I mean, but him and I were like really close, like very close to each other up until eventually, I don't know, he just exploded.
Yeah, he became the idol.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. Trevor Noah as well, when he went overseas, yeah, immediately his following just went crazy.
Anyway, it's been a great pleasure having you in studio. Thank you so much for making your way here.
Cool.
Next time we get you in, you're going to be on probably a million.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it's a great platform, and people enjoy themselves. Yeah, just keep going.
I will do.
You haven't got into trouble yet. Supporter of the PigSpot, aren't you?
I'm an absolute supporter of the concept of deterring people from unlawful behavior.
Yes.
So, if you, Cliff doesn't do this anymore, putting out. Locations of roadblocks for intoxicated persons.
Yeah.
No.
I'll stop that in 2011.
Exactly. Guys, we've got to close off. Yeah. Many thanks to Lionel, to Lionel Makokotlele, to Cliff, and to Howard Dubofsky. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
Our listeners, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
This is CliffCentral.com.